Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And today we're talking with Dan Rose, the chair of the Labor Employment Department at Drummond & Woodson here in Portland, Maine. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David. It's my pleasure.
So, first time on the radio?
First time on the radio.
Well, that's all right. It's going to be easy today. No problem.
I'm going to take you at your word.
All right. No problem. Well, you know, we're talking to HR professionals. We're talking to business leaders. And I think the topic today of privacy and how that matters in the workplace is really very timely and something that is very current. So I guess the question is, what's the big deal with it?
Well, let's start about why it's timely. I don't know if you're a Pats fan. Are you a Pats fan?
I am.
So you spend millions of dollars for Aaron Hernandez. Great guy, great tight end, looks like we're going to the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, you know, he's arrested, we have these charges, he's not on your team, you cut his contract. So the question about privacy, if you're an employer, is, you know, should the Pats have been following him? Should they know what he was doing? You know, there's one example. The other one is, when I got up this morning, NPR was talking about Snowden. And, you know, he's leaking these documents. The damage you can do as an employee now is not the same as it was 20 years ago, right? Because now
you're absolutely right.
You got an access to a computer. You can take, you know, tons of documents. You'd look stupid 20 years ago carrying boxes out, but now it's a lot easier. So I think it matters for employers, both because you invest so much in folks and because you have, you know, materials they can steal, and, you know, but also matters to employees. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I want everybody getting into my personal stuff.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So I guess let's define it, shall we? Let's define what is, for lack of a better term, what is an expectation of privacy at work? Can you define that? Can anybody really define that?
Yeah, well, it's different, right, for you and me. I mean, even if you get outside of work, think about your expectation of privacy. What is it that's going to creep you out as a person? You know, is it okay when you go buy gas and you've got to fill out something with your zip code or your, is it okay when they, you know, Social Security? You know, that was a law that was passed, you know, in the 30s, and the deal was you weren't supposed to have to give out your Social Security number. And you can't go anywhere without someone asking your Social Security number for almost anything. So first of all, expectation of privacy, there's just a personal creepiness level. Now, legally, when we're talking about employment, it's not just your personal view, but it's where would a reasonable person have an expectation of privacy? Like, put this back on you. You walk into an employer. Let's talk about an employer saying, hey, turn out your pockets. I want to see what's in your pockets. That feel like that's a private area to you?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because I come from a retail background. So I used to work for Levi Strauss, American Eagle, Pacific Sunwear. That was very common that we would ask people to open their bags, make sure that their pockets were, you know, didn't have anything for jewelry or anything. But it was done on a consistent basis to every single person. So it was done in a way that it was okay to be done.
Was it done to customers or to employees?
To employees. Okay. To employees. And it was consistent across the board so that if you left the store and you had to leave, you always had to open your bag, show what you had, make sure your pockets were clear, and then you would leave.
Well, that's a really interesting point because it relates to where you work, right?
That's right. It does.
We're working in a diamond mine in Zaire. You know, we're going to look in your pocket.
I mean, think so.
We're going to be checking this stuff, yes. And maybe even beyond your pockets. But if you are working at a law office, if you're working in manufacturing and you're building cars, what am I looking for when I'm looking in your pockets? Let's get out of the pocket issue, right, and talk about, you know, your purse. So you've got a purse. Are you when you look at my purse, right, and let's say you're looking for a good pair of jeans. Mm-hmm. Are you going to find a good pair of jeans in my purse? And if you look in the purse and you find little smaller containers of stuff, which may have personal
items,
natures,
yep.
I'm uncomfortable right
yep.
now just to say
That's
it.
That's right.
But
you're right.
What do you, you know, do I have an expectation you're not going to open that? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think the answer is yes. And that's just the purse and the pocket stuff. Let's start talking about, you know, your iPhone or your you know, whatever kind of smartphone you have or a tablet or a computer. I mean, do you have an expectation that, hey, you know what, that's my phone. It's got my, you know, relatives on it. It's got all this stuff on it. You know, I'm walking out. Let's take your example. I'm working for retail, and I'm leaving at the end of the day, and my boss says, hey, David, come over here. Of course, they'd be saying Dan, since that's my name, but whatever. Because that would be one sign that there's an issue with my relationship with the employer. But
I think so, yes.
But they say, hey, come on over here. And I walk over and they say, you know, I'm kind of interested in what's going on. Let me see your phone. Right? I think that you have an expectation of privacy that that's my phone.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I think that it certainly is and does depend on the environment. In an office setting, I don't think you're really worried about somebody necessarily taking the pens or the paper or the though it does happen. Let's be honest, things do happen. Gosh knows,
K-cups. That's what people
K-cups. K-cups. You know, I tell the story, and this is the fact. When I used to work in Michigan, we had people stealing the toilet paper. So you know, these things actually do happen. It's for real. But the reality is, we're really thinking about, in an environment like HR or thinking about a company, you're thinking about personal information, right? You're thinking of trade secrets. You're thinking of data, information that people could take and use in some way that isn't right. Credit card information, for example, if you took credit cards.
I'm sorry, because you said a lot of stuff after the word toilet paper, and I'm still sort of stuck on a toilet paper thing. I just want to tell you.
No, it's true. We terminated a person for stealing toilet paper.
We had a case where we dealt with a privacy issue, which is, and we'll get here maybe within our time together, but the issue was theft. And, you know, the question was what was being stolen, and this was an issue of whether a custodian or maintenance person was stealing things, and there was a huge wheel of cheese, and the idea was that this person was going to try to steal this wheel of cheese, and so they set up a video camera, which we should talk about, but it was in a public area, it was at night, and the manager kept calling me like every hour to see if this person was stealing the cheese. They actually did catch the person stealing the cheese, and when they went to his house, the police did, I think they found like 20, 22,000 rolls of toilet paper. And I believe the explanation that the employee gave, the ex-employee, I guess, was that he had a camp. And I just felt like that wasn't a complete explanation because I don't know what's going on in that camp, but 22,000 rolls of toilet paper,
you know,
it's an issue.
It's an issue. Let's just leave it at that. It's an issue. Well, you know, we are talking about somebody's personal space. What is an expectation of privacy? I mean, I obviously own Career Management Associates, CMA. We have information from companies. We have information from individuals. We have personal information sometimes, right, especially for hiring, applications, background check information. It's all very timely and sensitive information, and we have to make sure it's secure.
Right. So there's two parts. One is an employer, right? You've got to secure the information you have. And, you know, there are various laws that are very careful about protecting that law. And you know, there's a law regarding personnel files. It says it should be kept private. The Americans with Disabilities Act is very, very clear about medical records. They can't even be in your personnel file. Mm-hmm. They have to be separate because the idea is you don't want to make decisions or be accused of making decisions based on someone's medical records. So there's that side. And then again, there's that employee side of what of mine do you get to look at? And if we look at this, we can start with the issue of when you hire someone. Someone walks in the door, and again, if you're the Patriots, right, and you're walking in my door, I want to know everything I can about you. If you're an employee walking in the door, you understand that you're trying to tell people about yourself and share stuff about yourself, but there's a level at which, you know, it's too much. So there's a couple really interesting issues with that. And some of my favorites are, there was a I don't know if this is what you want me to tell you about, but there was a Supreme Court case involving NASA. And, you know, if just to say it, as an employer, you pretty much don't want, I mean, we've all watched James Bond. You don't want, like, someone to take one of the things and shoot it over to something else, and then you got a loose thing.
All sorts of problems there.
I watched way too much, you know, TV and stuff. But anyway, but so what they did is they walked around and they talked to your references. But they didn't just talk to your references. In this case, they went to the Supreme Court. They asked all kinds of questions about your finances, your other things. And so a lawsuit was filed against NASA saying, wait a second, you know, you can't ask these questions. It's too private. It's not. And the issue was, because NASA is a governmental, you know, agency, was whether or not you violated someone's First Amendment rights, their Fourth Amendment rights. And the Supreme Court, which was really interesting, said that there's some informational right to privacy that people have as citizens. But they said, you know, this was okay because the government was careful. It was actually a contractor for NASA. But it was okay because there was protections there. But that was interesting only because the concept is there is some stuff you don't get to find out about me. And so when you interview someone or you bring them in, there's this war, right? The employer wants to know more, and the employee wants them to know enough to hire me, but not so much that, you know, you're going to show up at my house tomorrow and be asking for a beer.
Well, I think it's interesting. In today's environment, you also have the social media aspect, right? You have Facebook, you have LinkedIn, you have Twitter, you have Instagram, you have, you know, Flickr. I could go on for the next 2 hours.
Do you have all those things? Because I don't have half of those things.
The reality is that some information you put out there, you may think is private, and we talk about it all the time. It's really not private. Once you've put it on those sites, it's certainly not private. And the fact is that anybody can almost always see it.
So let's talk about that, because that's sure. Like, that's for most HR professionals, that's the big issue. I know a way to find out about you that I don't have to go hire someone to do an investigation. I'm going to Google you, right? That's my first shot.
Absolutely.
And then we'll talk about Facebook, but the first shot is I'm going to Google you and find out about you.
Yep.
And from the employer's perspective, hey, I could find out some interesting stuff. From the employee's perspective, first of all, to my children and anybody who's in their 20s, you know, dummy up, you know, people are going to find stuff out. And, you know, I'm from Maine. People know everything, and
that's
they
right,
already
they
know everything.
That's right.
And,
they do.
You know, I had a wonderful example of just a piece of advice I give people, which is the first piece of advice for folks is don't use technology that you don't understand. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had people who used Facebook, didn't understand the settings. They set it to what they thought was private. And one of my favorite examples is this guy who went fishing. He was supposed to be at work, and he showed pictures of the fish on his site. Boss brings him in and writes him up. And what he doesn't know is he has an open setting, so anybody can look at this Facebook page. So that night he goes home and he types on his Facebook page, you know, I don't know who turned me in, but I'm going to get him. And, you know, there was nobody that turned him in. It was him. You know, I mean, the supervisor
That's right.
just read that night and brought him in and said, you know, dummy up, maybe you shouldn't be using this website if you don't know what Facebook is. But so guy shows up in your door, and the question always is, can I Google him?
Mm-hmm.
And there is no law that says that you can't Google an applicant. On the other hand, when you Google someone and you end up at a page that has information about them, you're going to find information that as an employer you may not be allowed to have. So, I mean, what I mean is, there are laws against discriminating against people on the basis of lots of things, as you well know, but you know, sexual orientation, disability. So I'm not allowed to ask. If I interview with you and I say, you know, hey, David, you seem like a nice candidate. You know, when's the last time, you know, you were doing meth? That's probably not a question that I should or can ask. Or if I ask, you know, what's your sexual orientation? That's not a question I can ask.
Right.
Because I'm not allowed to make a decision on whether to hire you, on whether or not, you know, you had prior drug abuse, or whether or not you are interested in men or women, these are all the things we know, right? Although, to be honest, the ones that most folks get caught on is like workers' comp, and I can't make a decision on whether you have a workers' comp claim. So those are the rules, right? I'm not allowed to use those. Now, if I Google you and I find a picture of you, and I just want to be clear, I've never seen a picture of you on.
That's
but if
good.
I did,
that's good.
But if I did see this picture, you are, doing a handstand on a keg with a funnel, with a disability check in one hand, you know, and your lover on the right. I now have. First of all, just
too much information.
Way too much information.
Way too much information.
So I've now, when I decide not to hire you, right? You can come back and say, well, the reason that Dan didn't hire me was because, I'm a disabled gay person who you'd have this whole list of things. And so what I tell employers is, look, I know it's tempting. If you really want to Google someone, it should not be somebody involved in the employment process, the hiring process.
Right.
Have another person in the company do the Google search. Have them cull out the stuff we're not supposed to know. And give only the stuff we're supposed to know to the hiring committee, and that way you get a twofer. You know, you get the information, but you don't get the information you're not supposed to have.
Let me ask you a quick question, because this question came up, and certainly I'd be curious on your answer. Can you, on a background check consent form, because I think I've been asked this question many times, when you say, hey, you agree to allow a background check, can you put that we will then be Googling you, be going to social media, be going to that, and have them sign off that it is okay to check that information?
So two things. For Google, I don't need your permission. So you can put it on a form and they can sign it, and that's fine. You still have the issue of, I can't use the information if it's illegal information. So if I'm going to tell someone, I'm going to Google them and get their consent, I have to be really careful that I have a clear policy on that form or somewhere else saying, we will not use any information that is irrelevant to the, you know, to this job. And I probably wouldn't put that on that form. I probably have an internal policy dealing with how we deal with that. But the real tricky issue about consent forms, and one which I don't have a great answer to, is Facebook. Okay, so the issue with Facebook is it's not open to the public. A Google search, right? You're searching everything that's on the internet that you have access to that's available. Facebook, I can set parameters on who my friends are. And I'm just saying, I don't want you to take this, you know, personally or anything, but, right, you may not be a friend on my Facebook thing. And so what I worry about is employers going to applicants and saying, look, I want your, you know, I want you to friend me on Facebook as part of this applicant process. Or, you know, I want your code to Yahoo so I can see your account. And that's really a tough question.
We're talking to Dan Rose, Chair of the Labor and Employment Department at Drummond and Woodson, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Learn how at www.ready.gov.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com. And we're talking with Dan Rose at Drummond & Woodson, the law firm here in Portland, Maine. He's the chair of Labor and Employment Department. We're talking about privacy in the workplace. Exciting stuff, but very, very important. Let's talk a little bit. We were talking about Facebook, Dan, before we took the break. Facebook has this new search engine coming out that is basically going to be allow you to search Facebook, get the information. A lot of it, even with privacy settings, you're still going to be able to see. It also does some information. It goes into Google and takes some of the information from there. It's actually not Google. It's a different search engine. But the reality is Facebook is getting into that market. Employers, should they be still as concerned about the fact that that information is, you know, being taken in a way that could be perceived as bias?
There's a whole bunch of issues with employers and Facebook. And if we're talking about hiring, I warn employers not to be asking for individuals' permission on Facebook. But if you can get through appropriate means where I don't need your password to get it and I don't have to be a friend, then it's sort of fair game. There is a federal law, the Stored Communications Act, which very few people are aware of, which relates to what's on a Facebook page, what's stored in their servers. And that law makes it illegal for employers to, or anybody, to gain access without permission. So one of the interesting cases about that occurred where there was an issue. You know how this works, right? Somebody doesn't like somebody, they complain. And what happens this is after you're hired, but what happens is Marcy's mad at me, and she said terrible things about me. She called me names, and then I called her names. But I only called her names because she called me names. And so the employer brings in, this is a real case, and brings in an employee, and usually it's the trusted guy, you know.
Right.
So Sarah comes in, and, you know, I've got to, you know, so Sarah, you know, I hear this stuff is going on. This is what happened. And Sarah, look, would you mind, I know you're friends with Marcy, would you mind letting me see Marcy's Facebook page? And Sarah says, sure. And I look at Marcy's Facebook page, and there's terrible things written about this other employee that could constitute sexual harassment. So I discipline Marcy, right, because she wrote these terrible things. And you should be asking at some point, well, but that was not at work. What business is it of mine? But in any case, I discipline that person, and I get a federal lawsuit saying that the employer violated the Stored Communications Act because we looked at Marcy's Facebook page that was private. And my answer is, wait a second, I had permission. Sarah was a friend. Sarah gave me permission. And what the court said was, because Sarah changed her mind, and you know that happens. You got to be aware of that.
Yep.
She says, you know, what do you do? Your boss says, can I look at this page? I felt like I had to. So right. She gave the information. So as an employer, looking at stuff that's at all protected raises issues. And you have to be careful about this issue. And one of those issues is that federal law.
Well, it's interesting because I'm not sure people in the HR world, I'm not sure business owners. I mean, I think about a business owner that has 5 or 6 employees. He's just looking for that extra person. He just wants to make sure that it's a person who can do the job. And, you know, he wants to have access to be able to make sure that they're not someone who shouldn't be there. They worry about what people say about them because, hey, look, today digital dirt is real. I mean, the reality is that if you do a Google search and it's an employer and it says bad things, most of the time that means you go on to the next one on the line, even if it may be not true. So this is real stuff that employers have to deal with.
Yeah, and let's just flip back and forth, and let's just talk about when you're an employee. We'll get back to hiring, but here's a great example is a guy works for BMW. Now, you know, I don't own a BMW, just so everyone, you know, I've never driven, but whatever. For whatever, but BMW's great car, right? Right, but high-end, right? So you got a guy who works for them. It's a high-end thing, and the boss says, you know what we want to do here? We want to have an event to get people to BMW to see these. So the GM puts out a hot dog stand, like, you know, and this guy gets on Facebook and, you know, writes and says, this is stupid. We're BMW. What are we doing with a hot dog? You know, we should have, well, I don't know, we have little sushi things.
Sushi, probably steak tips, you know, something.
You know,
good.
Steak tips.
Lobster tail.
Lobster tail, right. I mean, hey, I'm just saying, it's you know, I'm hungry. But so goes online and writes, has a picture, actually takes a picture, snaps a picture with his phone, has a picture of this hot dog vending thing and says, you know, this is dumb. And, you know, the employer finds out. The employer says, hey, this is not okay. It's what you're talking about. You know, I've got this information. It's in this world. It's about my BMW place. It's going to hurt sales to have people talking about, you know, what a stupid thing this was. So they go to discipline the guy, and the guy says, wait a second, you can't discipline me. And so in that case, what he argued was the National Labor Relations Act. There's no unions. No unions involved with BMW at this you know, place
dealership,
where they're selling cars, right?
Yep.
So he says, but hey, you know what? The National Labor Relations Act protects my right to complain about the hot dogs because I'm complaining and my friend list is other people that work here. And it's really about our working conditions and our situation. And the National Labor Relations Board looks at that and it says, you know what? That may be a valid complaint. You can't discipline that person for that information because they have a right to talk about these issues. So you talk about being boxed in, both employees and employers, and you talk about being, you know, a maze of different stuff. There's an example where your gut tells you, you know what, I can't have employees saying this stuff about me. And your gut is that they're damaging my reputation. And the truth is that there are laws that may prevent you from dealing with
it. You know, it's interesting. You know, employers usually want to do the right thing. I mean, I would say 98 to 99% of the time, the employer wants to do the right thing.
I just want to be clear, 100% of the employers I work with want to do the right thing. Just, so that's on the record.
On the record. Well, you know what? I can say the same. But the reality is employers want to do the right thing. And most of the time, employees want to do the right thing as well. They want to have a job. They want good working conditions. They want things to be done. And if we were to think 10 years ago, nobody would have even thought of posting anything online, and this stuff would have never gone out. Somebody would have picked up a phone and made a call to their friend and complained, and it would have never hit the news meter, if you want to say. It just wouldn't have gone out in the world today. It's a different world. So I think we're talking about something that is still so new that we're all trying to figure it out.
The question I always have about that, and I think that's a great point, is we always talk trash. I mean, I don't know how I had a lot of jobs before I was a lawyer, and you know, you're working construction, and you know, and I used to, and you know, it's not like you didn't go home and you didn't have beer with the guys and talk about stuff. The question is whether when you talk about stuff online, it's the same thing, but is it you know, qualitatively, quantitatively, somehow a completely different animal? And I think the answer is it is, because it stays out there. I tell you where you see this a lot is not just about people complaining about their job, but because that's, you know, we talked about that a little bit with that BMW case. But what about when they complain about you? Mm-hmm. Okay, you're a supervisor, you're a teacher, you're a GM. You know, I mean, you'd like to think everybody loves you, but you know that folks are going around and at some point they're complaining about you, and you can deal with that. But when it's on the internet, I'll just tell you right now, from the calls I get from clients, it feels really different.
It does.
And it, you know,
it is different. It is different because when you're talking to your buddies, your friends, and you're having a conversation with two or three people out having a beer in your backyard, nobody's listening. People can't read it from 100 miles away. A client doesn't hear it from 100. A potential client doesn't hear it. A potential next employer of you who may read about how you didn't treat them well, didn't see it, hear it, feel it.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
And it stays forever.
Forever.
And you don't know when it's not going to be there. Now, I will tell you that I always wonder, I mean, folks are worried that this is going to be completely damaging to their reputation. I totally sympathize. But I often wonder how many people are reading, you know, if everybody's writing something about somebody, at some point there's so much stuff out there, you know, what is everybody picking up? But what if you can pick it up on a Google search? What if that manager goes for another job and somebody looks and finds a thread somewhere? You know, I've been to conferences where folks are able to deconstruct and construct resumes and do things that are pretty scary. I totally understand. What you as an employee have to consider is, number one, is my employer going to get access to this? If they have access to this, can they, I should say this, can they fire me? But, you know, we can talk about laws all day long. From an employee's perspective, if I get fired, and then I have to find a lawyer, that it's an awful experience. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And, you know, if 5 years from now you reach a settlement and you get it, you talk to most employees who've brought cases, it's just not, it's a bad experience.
That's right.
And so from an employee's perspective, being right isn't always helpful. And from an employer's perspective, you really don't want to have that stuff out there, and you really don't want to babysit folks. And you really, so it's, I mean, for example, employers have a right to, you know, to look at computers that they provide to people, right?
Absolutely.
And
phones they provide to people.
Which is, by the way,
tablets.
You say phones, and to me, it used to be a phone was, I don't know, a phone.
Yeah, it's not a phone. It's a smartphone.
Well, even if it's not a smartphone.
Even though I sometimes call them dumb phones.
But even on my desk right now is a phone that, you know, used to be on my desk. It was just a regular phone. It's supplied by the firm. It's on my desk. That phone does stuff now that phones didn't used to do. And it's
so
not
true.
A smartphone. It's just a phone. But it can forward. It can, you know, it has other capabilities. And if a company goes and looks at the records on that phone, they can find stuff out. And when, I mean, this is, I love this stuff. But what's fascinating is, all right, so I have a right. If I give you a computer, David, you work for me. Here's a computer. I have a right to look at that computer. In fact, I should have a policy saying, right?
Have to have a policy.
So, all right, so that seems like simple. The problem then becomes, so am I really looking? How often am I going to look? Am I going to hire a guy just to look at everybody's computer?
No.
Not going to happen. And then what I love about the law and I love about these issues is, all right, there's a problem, so I'm going to look, right? Because that's how it comes up. Either I think you're disloyal, or I heard that you were harassing somebody. And by the way, for employers out there, one of the things that took me a while to catch on to is when you think there's harassment or when you think there's an issue, the first thing you should do is grab that computer. Because even if you don't think the computer's involved, there may be emails and other things that relate to
that. That's right. Absolutely.
And employees, please, you know, if you're going to say something, you know, you're using your work computer. I see that with porn all the time. You know, I'm just going to say this to everybody. You can look at porn lots of places. Using your work computer, it's just not a good idea.
No.
So, but here's the thing. So I have a right to look at this computer, right? And it seems for employers, that's simple. It's actually some complicated issues arise. For example, when employees use their work computer to access their private Yahoo account or to contact their lawyer, there is some question at law about whether or not, as an employer, even though I have a right to see your stuff, and even though you've waived privacy, and you don't have an expectation of privacy because we didn't talk about this, but I can reduce your expectation
absolutely.
Of privacy by telling you.
Right.
So here I've given you the policy. You had approved it. Everything looks good, right? And I contact my lawyer, and I go to my private site, and I put on my computer, my work computer, my code for my access to my private site. Now, can an employer use that code that I got from your computer to look at your private site? Can I go read the emails between you, the employee, and your lawyer? That's where we find cases coming up, okay? And the answer is you shouldn't, okay? Where I don't know the answer, where the courts are in the middle of grappling, that's where as an employer you know you shouldn't. And an employee, no, man, don't put that stuff on your computer.
We're talking with Dan Rose, Chair of the Labor and Employment Department at Drummond & Woodson, and we'll be right back.
Are you frustrated with medical care today? Does it make you angry that your doctor spends more time looking at the computer screen than at you? Does it seem like your doctor is out the door in 5 minutes? There is a better alternative. At Champy Family Practice, Dr. Michael Champy and his dedicated staff make taking care of patients their priority. They are a cash-friendly direct pay practice, which is the perfect option for people with no insurance, high deductibles, and health savings accounts. Unlike other practices, they post their prices in the office and even online. Get modern medical care delivered the old-fashioned way. For more information, call ChampyFamilyPractice.com. That's C-I-A-M-P-I. Or call 774-1222. Champy Family Practice is located at 380 Lincoln Street in South Portland. Champy Family Practice. Continuing a tradition of medical excellence in Greater Portland since 1959.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com. We are having a great discussion here with Dan Rose, the Chair of the Labor and Employment Department at Drummond & Woodson. And we're talking today about some really big, important things having to do with privacy for employers and employees. Dan, thank you for being on the show again. I appreciate it.
My pleasure again.
All right. So, you know, it's interesting. We've been talking a lot about hiring, a lot about privacy settings on Facebook, social media, and everything. But, you know, you just told me during the break, employers sometimes make mistakes on asking questions when they hire someone. Go ahead, tell the story, and then we'll move into the next segment here.
Well, this is partly a question of when an employer either hires someone to do testing of applicants. And by the way, I just want to say, testing applicants is fine. You know, if you're hiring someone to buff floors, you can have applicants actually practice buffing the floors. And if you don't hire them, you still get a clean floor, and it, you know, can work for you. But personality testing, you have to be careful. It's not enough just to hire a contractor to do it. And there's a case that I refer to sometime that involved a company that was doing business as Target, and the questionnaire that they gave folks had specific questions that a court found, and I'm not clear why, and I'm being sarcastic because it's pretty clear why, but were found to be objectionable. And some of those questions included questions like, one, I am very strongly attracted to members of my own sex. And someone had to say 1 to 10, yes or no, or how much. Or number 2, I believe in the second coming of Christ. Number 3, I have no difficulty in starting or holding my urine. Now, I got to tell you, one of the tests for me when an employer talks to me about hiring is I always ask, you know, how is this related to the job? Now, I suppose the urine thing, you know, maybe I'm giving the benefit of the doubt, but I'm not really sure, unless your job is as an apostle, what your views on the second coming of Christ really have to do with being a security guard at a retail store.
I don't even have a response for that. I mean, those are just so absurd questions to even be asking in any testing.
And I think it's worth saying, you know, we can talk about these issues of privacy, and I find them, you know, fascinating. But when you're hiring someone, you know, you should be asking questions that relate to the job that's being involved. And if they're not, as fun as that is to ask questions that are totally irrelevant, A, it's going to, you know, it could be illegal. B, it's not going to help you make a decision. And C, it's disrespectful. Now, I used to do a bunch of interviewing for people that we were hiring. And, you know, mostly, you know, I did a good job. But one of the things you have to be careful about, and this is a privacy issue as well, is it's not just the interview. When you meet the person out in the lobby, when you're waiting in your room for the other person to come in for the interview, and the interviewee looks and there's pictures of your family, and the interviewee says, you know, hey, your boys are nice, you know, I've got two girls, and I say, oh, your girls are sweet, what are they? And I start talking about my boys and your girls and, you know, Sacred Heart and you know, whatever, and where are we going, and all of a sudden, I've broken all these rules, and I'm asking all these inappropriate privacy-related questions that, you know, may be illegal. And just to say it, you know, you can get sued for the tort of invasion of privacy if I'm asking questions that go into areas that we as people would consider private. And
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things certainly that employers need to remember is that anything that could be perceived as, you know, illegal, anything that could be perceived as inappropriate, even if it is something that's just a genuine question, just a general question, if somebody could perceive it as such, it's not right.
Well, I did get a great recipe for French toast from an interview once. Now, I just want to share it. It was a great recipe, and it involves cream cheese and jam mixed in on the French, but it actually literally had nothing to do with our hiring of a lawyer for our law firm.
Now, let's be honest. Because of that French toast, you hired them. Let's be honest.
I can say this honestly. I do make that French toast. The real issue for me was the French toast.
I will always remember that. Drummond & Winston hires only if you make good French toast.
Let's hope that's not what you
All right. No, Adam, just kidding. We're moving on. All right. You know, one of the things today that is probably more out there than it used to be is video cameras. Video cameras are everywhere. Employers have them in their parking lots. Employers have them at their front door. Employers have them in the hallway. They have them in different areas. And let's be honest, a lot of places, and I'll use the retail example, have hidden cameras to look for shoplifting, to look for employees that may steal. They're typically in sensitive areas. I think about some of the semiconductor companies. Think about some of the areas where you're looking for very specific things. Cameras are everywhere. What are some of the inherent dangers of employers using these video cameras that they have to really watch out for?
Okay, first of all, I'm just focused on your cameras are everywhere. I hope you don't mean everywhere. Like, is there a camera now?
There is actually up in the corner right there. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is in studio.
I just want to say I got my hair cut for this interview, just so you know, just in case.
I have a face for radio, and that's why I do it.
So, look, if you're an employer, remember what we were talking about hiring, and we're saying that, you know, ask business-related questions. Make sure it relates to the job. So when we're talking about video, the first thing you have to ask in determining what employers' rights are you a public sector or a private sector employer? There's a mistake a lot of folks make. You know, everybody walks around and they say oftentimes, look, I have a constitutional right to say what I want. It's my First Amendment right. I have, in this case, a Fourth Amendment right against being searched or having stuff seized. You talk about your pockets. Just remember, everyone out there, that if you are working for a private sector employer, that is, it's not the government, it's not a municipality, it's not the state, that those constitutional protections do not apply to you. That you can't bring a 1983 action saying that if someone violated my First Amendment rights of free speech if you don't work for the government. Because private employers, that it just doesn't apply.
That's right, it doesn't.
So that's just something I hear often. And so now we're saying, all right, someone's videotaping us. And the question you have to ask is where? That's the first question. And whether there's a basis and what the expectation of privacy is. So, for example, if it's a common room and everybody uses the room and I tell people that I'm videotaping it, that's fine. You're not violating as an employer that rule, that law, whether or not we're talking about a public or private sector. I would say that as you start to drift from and there's a great question about this. I often ask employers, and it's a chicken and an egg thing. Are you trying? There are two reasons to videotape. There's two reasons to check on employees, right? One is to make sure the behavior doesn't occur.
Right, a deterrent.
Yeah, and the other is to catch the guys that are doing it. And if you're trying to use as a deterrent, you would inform people. Hey, you know what? We are videotaping this area because we've had some thefts, or we're videotaping the parking lot because we want to be safe. And that's the kind of thing that I support. If we're going to do it, let's tell people we're doing it. Let's let them know. And that also reduces their expectation of privacy because they know they're being videotaped. If you're doing it privately, if you're doing it without telling people, then you're starting to get dicier. And it's still okay if it's a public area where there is not an expectation of privacy. But when you talk about someone's office, certainly anytime you're talking about a bathroom, you better talk to your lawyer. I mean, I represent also a number of casinos. And when you represent a casino, you've got to worry about chips and where they are. And so there's a lot of scrutiny. And literally almost every area in a casino, both front room and back room, is being videotaped. But we've told people there's a commission. We're making sure we're doing this in accordance with law. But if you are just out there and, you know, it doesn't cost much. That's the thing. It doesn't cost much to get a video thing. If you're just saying, hey, this seems like a good idea. By the way, you know, there's all these great shows on TV now, you know.
It's true. They've glamorified it, really. You know, catch them.
Exactly. You know? Catch and there's them. All those restaurant shows and stuff, you know, and, you know, the person's not there and the fake people come in. Don't get carried away, you know. There is a general rule when you're in front of a human rights commission, which every state has. They're going to, these cases, you know, there's complicated issues of law, but if you miss that this is all about common sense at the end of the day, then you're missing the point. If you look like you are a snarky person, or that, and as an employer, you are surreptitiously recording people, let's say you're doing that. Let's say, David, I bring you in and I want to talk to you about something. And what I don't tell you is that there is my smartphone is on, and I'm recording this interview. And the first question is that's illegal, and the answer is it's not illegal. There's a federal wiretap law and a state wiretap law, and it requires consent of one of the two parties. So I've consented, so I don't have to tell you. So I can record that. The thing is, Maine juries, most people, they don't like people that record stuff without the other party knowing.
That's right.
It's not okay. If an employee does that, it's not against the law for them to do it, but it, you know, it's inappropriate, and it, like I said, it sets a bad tone. So if we're talking about videotaping people, or I would stay to the public areas, I'd let people know and use it as deterrent. I tell them why we're doing it, and I'd be doing it for a business-related reason.
Let's talk about cars. So employers sometimes provide transportation vehicles, whether it be for work, whether it be for you know, work sites. They provide typically a phone which might have GPS in it. It might be GPS in the truck. It might be a tracking of that vehicle, tracking of a car. Typically, I think about all the UPS, all the FedEx, they all have tracking. Most buses have tracking, most vehicles, taxis. I mean, really, you can almost say that most of these vehicles that you're going to get into, or if it's an employer, will have some sort of GPS tracking device on it. Where does an employer go wrong in terms of using information of where these vehicles are? And I will say that certainly we've had, you know, clients who have used this device and said that, you know, the person's supposed to be on job site, but the truck is, you know, 30 miles away at a club. And that's not exactly where they're supposed to be. So, you know, there are legitimate uses for this type of.
Absolutely. And some of those uses are to make sure that we're doing things efficiently, to make sure that we're doing good for gas mileage. One of the things that GPSs always strike me is, one, you should tell employees that you're putting a GPS in the vehicle. But it's that thing I said at the very beginning, how we all make assumptions, everybody's on the same page about these technologies. You know, the old thing about, you know, your mother faxes you something and then says to you, you know, can you send it back to me? It's my only copy. And you're trying to explain to her that
it's so true.
That's not how it works. Yeah. I've had two cases in Maine where employees were let go because exactly the scenario you talked to. We had GPS in their vehicles. They weren't where they were supposed to be. And what was astonishing to me about both those cases were that the employees both looked and said, how do you know I wasn't there? And these are employers who told them, you know, and at this interview said to them, well, you know, Billy, you know, we put the GPS in the truck. You agreed. You knew it was in your truck. And the thing is, Billy's like, yeah, I get it, but how'd you know where I was? And I don't know whether the assumption was this was supposed to be just a direction thing or just the words GPS wasn't enough, but the employee just didn't make the connection until we actually sat down and said, look, you know, 204, you were here. You know, you were here at 206. So sometimes even telling people isn't enough because people aren't making the connection. But you, again, use those technologies by telling people and using them for a business purpose and not just to sort of, you know, to play games or to just catch people at things that aren't relevant.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. And we've been having a great discussion with Dan Rose, Chair of the Labor and Employment Department at Drummond & Woodson. You know, Dan, it's interesting. I wanted to just make a clarification, if I could. You talked a little bit about taping two-way conversation. You were talking specifically about Maine. Could you talk about federal for just a second and other states?
Absolutely. So this has to do with the taping of conversations. There's a federal wiretapping statute, which then became the ECPA, which then, you know, has to deal with stored communications. Just, it's important to know that while the federal law says that as long as one party consents to a conversation, it doesn't violate the federal law, and while in Maine that's also true, many states require both parties to consent. And that's why sometimes when you get a phone call from a Avis or Hertz or wherever, and they say, you know, in the beginning of the phone call, hey, this may be overheard, that's because they're doing that nationally, and they know that in some states you have to tell people ahead of time that it's being recorded.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. I just want to make sure we clarify that
Sure.
for everyone out there. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, the CFAA. You had mentioned that, you know, this is something that employees need to be careful about. Explain that.
So if you're an employee and you're given a laptop, or, you know, we didn't mention this, but I do want to say, you know, we talked about smartphones as though they belong to the employee or the employer. But, you know, one of the things I love about law is that what about I'm going to give you $20 towards your smartphone, then who owns it? You know,
right.
Is it like the computer laptop or is it my private one? And so if you're an employer that pays or an employee where an employer pays some of the money for your smartphone, you got to think about that. But one of the things that employees and employers should be aware of is that when you give someone a laptop and they have your company information on it, what happens when the relationship doesn't work and it turns out your employee is Mr. Snowden and he's in Russia in an airport and he has your laptop with all kinds of stuff in it that people want to know, trade secrets, you know, all kinds of information. And one of the things is, you know, you can sue for theft if the person stole your laptop. You can perhaps sue for theft of the materials, the confidential materials. You should always have policies saying this is mine and not yours. But one of the tools that courts are struggling with is the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, because it's a law that talks about employees knowing and with intent to defraud accessing protected information of an employer. It's a federal law that has criminal and other penalties. And if you're an employee and let's say you go and you delete all the stuff on your laptop, you may be triggering that statute. In other words, you're mad, you're done, you're supposed to return your laptop, you've got personal stuff and company stuff on it, so you know what you do? You just delete everything on there. There's a question as to whether or not that's against federal law. So both for employers and employees, there's a real war about who owns what. And if you are an employer, you should make very clear about what stuff is yours. You should know that in your quiver, right, there are arrows in a quiver or there are quivers in an arrow? There's arrows in a quiver, right? Well, with one of those things with arrows and quivers, that one of the tools that you have is to look at federal laws regarding computer fraud and abuse, tort laws, privacy laws. You know, these are the things you have to know. And as an employee, you have to be aware that before you do something bold like take stuff, use stuff, be aware of what these things are and be very, very careful. And we all want everybody to be a good citizen, and they should. But, you know, I have a phone that if it gets stolen, the firm can wipe the stuff out so that everybody's information is protected.
Dan, we're coming to the end of the interview here today, and I really appreciate you being on the show. One of the things that I'd like to leave with is if you could provide employers maybe with three or four key tips, takeaways, that they could go back right now and say, okay, I need to make sure that these things are right. I need to make sure that I have these things in place. I need to make sure that I've either told my employees or at least provided them with information. What are some of the things that you could say, hey, these are key takeaways you need to check in your as an employer?
Okay, so key takeaways. Number one is that there are limits. That if you are an HR person, and this would take way more than 5 minutes, but you have to be able to talk truth to power and tell folks that there are limits to our ability to know what's going on with employees. It takes too long to explain what all those limits are, but the first rule is know their limits and make sure that the CEO, the CFO, the COO know that there are limits. Number two, if we're going to look into stuff involving employees, tell the employees. You know, it's just like a rule of thumb that at some point all these things come down to fairness, and the more you can be upfront, the better. The other thing is, rule of thumb is, any search, any question, anything involving an employee where you're getting information, limit it to things that are business purpose. There's some great cases on this, but generally you should walk away and say, if we're going to ask this question, is it related to the person's job? And then just be careful about, you know, secret stuff. You know, we just got to look back in our history as a country, and, you know, it's the secret stuff that gets us into trouble.
Dan, I appreciate your time today. Thank you for being on the HR Power Hour. If somebody wants to reach you, they certainly can go to the HRPowerHour.com website, and your information will be there. But go ahead and tell them your information so that they can know how to reach you.
I'm afraid I'm not permitted to provide my personal information. No, okay, Dan Rose at Drummond Woodsum. You can look. This is a wonderful show, and you can call us at Drummond Woodsum if you have any questions or follow-up. I really appreciate the time.
No, that's great. Dan, you've been a great guest. I appreciate it. And now your HR tip of the week. According to TrendHR.com, there was a nationwide career builder study that asked managers for traits that would take an employee out of the running for a promotion. Top responses included someone who says, that's not my job, 71%. Someone is often late, 69%. Someone has lied at work, 68%. Somebody takes credit for other people's work, 64%. Someone often leaves work early, 55%. And someone takes liberties with expenses charged back to the company, 55%. Does that resonate with you? And that's your HR tip of the week. On next week's HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with Jennifer McClure. She is the president of Unbridled Talent. Effective communication and presentation skills are must-haves for top business leaders and HR professionals, as well as executives. In order to establish executive presence, build influence, gain buy-in, and help their businesses grow. Jennifer will talk about all that and more on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.